Hey there. This is Winning at Life, live financial news talk radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. Welcome to the show. We'll be with you for the next hour. We can talk about money. Phone number to call to join the discussion if you have some questions, comments, thoughts, concerns, maybe not sure what to do. 504-260-0995. You can also reach out through the Winning at Life app, text, email, call us through the app.
All right. I want to start off here by, I saw a list. Then I came across this guy's article in MarketWatch. His name's Chris Mamula. And he was saying, look, I'm 2 years into my early retirement. Here's all the things I've gotten wrong. And the number two thing on his list was his housing budget. He's a guy who followed finance for years and reported on it. And he, even with his, what he thought was advanced exposure to financial knowledge, vastly underestimated how much housing would cost. Does that happen a lot?
Underestimated how much housing would cost?
Yeah, and it's
was
not...
Was he relocating or something to an area he was unfamiliar with or never had housing until then?
There's two parts to this. Part of this is the monthly payment went up a little faster than they expected. That's not too catastrophic. They did have some home repairs that they had budgeted for. But the thing they didn't budget for was a $30,000 renovation. At some point, it doesn't say what the renovations are, but I have a wife right now who swears we need new cabinets. Like, our cabinets right now aren't working. And if she gets new cabinets, I'm going to burn the house down and walk off. But
you could well spend $30,000 just on the cabinets.
I know this, and that's scary.
That does not include that granite countertop either.
So they didn't budget in a home renovation in retirement. That set them back, and now they're having trouble making up ground.
Yeah.
Does that happen to everybody? That sounds like something.
It does not happen to everybody, but from time to time, it comes up in discussions that, yeah, we're wanting to renovate the bathroom, the master bath, or upgrade the kitchen. From time to time, I hear those discussions, or, you know what, I want to redo my back porch. You have those different conversations, but it's not like every client, by the way, we've got to factor in some money to redo the house. I want wood floors throughout. We don't have that as a usual conversation, but it does come up, and we're having a discussion about it, but they're kind of stating, yeah, we want to use this. We want to set aside this, retiring or coming into some money, but hey, I want to do this.
Okay. So my next thought is when people retire in their late 60s, early 70s, they're going to live to their late 80s, early 90s. They're going to be in this place for 20 years. And it's rare that people live in the same house 20 years without making a major change of some sort. You almost have to have a renovation fund built into your retirement plan if you want to have all your bases covered, or at least a little bit of margin so you can cover stuff like that.
Well, heck, for that matter, when you retire, the vehicle you have, car, truck, van, whatever, is it lasting through retirement?
Right, that's the same thing.
Does it necessarily say, I need to factor in, I'm going to need several more vehicles during retirement. I'm retiring for 30 years. It does not get factored in that way. But what you're looking for, if you're renovating your house now, at your point in your career, or you're wanting a vehicle, are you kind of saying, gosh, I wish, we're going to have to save up $30,000 to buy those cabinets, or it's time for a new truck. Now I'm gonna have to save up $50,000 to get that new truck. Maybe that's too much. Maybe it's less. Well, is that what you're going to do while you're working?
Now you're going to take on debt, aren't you?
How's that different than retirement? How are you doing that? It's going to fit in your lifestyle. Now, are there people that write a check or whatever from savings? Yes. And it impacts the total amount of their assets, but at some point it's probably factoring into the income flow of what you're doing. You keep doing that and you're going to knock down the income generating assets. So that's why you have emergency money, interim money, and then income generating assets. So, some people live in their house 30 years and don't do anything to it, James. And I've seen those too.
I'm just,
they say, I'm done with this house and buying another. They just sell it and move on to another.
The more scenarios I'm exposed to through the course of doing this show over almost a decade, the more I'm really concerned about this last little few percent there we call margin. And the question kind of becomes, how much do you really need? And no one wants to live paycheck to paycheck. You don't want to spend up to the bleeding edge of your paycheck every month just to get by, because that'll trip you up. But I mean, how much do you need there? 10%, 20%, 30%? I mean, of course we'd like it to be huge, but.
And there's people across the spectrum that kind of, they get by on everything, that their distributions, their Social Security and so forth. They're getting by on that. Then you have other people that, from that extreme to one other, I'll go back in that direction, you know, that are, they're short every month, and that's affecting them. They're still spending more than they're taking in, even though we've talked about it and they say, oh, we thought we got it under control. Then you go to the other end of the spectrum is, yeah, we have an extra $3,000 a month. I had that discussion recently.
Nice.
You know, do we need to turn on more income? Or, you know, and they're looking at, okay, with this source of income's going to end, so how do we replace it? I said, oh, we got more than enough other sources of income to turn on, but, you know, should we turn it on now? Should we wait? I said, I think you should wait. You have $3,000 a month in surplus income as it is now. I think you're good. With that said, we are going to get all those sources of income turned on down the road. Absolutely. So they obviously could do some remodeling in that case if they wanted to, because they have pretty good margin, big margin.
Yeah, the wife is talking about a backsplash as well. It's like, oh man, I have to go Google what backsplash is now. I like the stories you have though of the people
just
where,
put up some plastic behind it, huh?
Saran wrap, right? The Reynolds wrap, that'd be fine. Or we could do aluminum foil, nice and shiny. That's what you want. Okay, so. I love the stories you have. It makes me very optimistic about retirement, where you tell people maybe you should start living larger. Go out to eat a little bit more. You need to spend some of this money. This money's coming out. You have RMDs. You're going to have to take it. I know you don't have anything to do with it or anywhere to put it, but just, man, eat a steak or something.
Yeah, and then some, you know, we're not here trying to leave all the money behind. You know, then you get that conversation. We want to make sure we spend it. I assure you, you will.
I love those people.
Because I went about it this way. I said, most people are not going to live through retirement with all of their assets intact. Most are not. And we're speaking of those that have retirement dollars. But for somebody to not have some sort of spend down on the back end of it, they have quite a bit of money. But it's likely you're going to need more later for health reasons and so forth. And things are going to cost a lot more. It just isn't going to stay intact. You don't have to worry about that.
I think about 1,000 little things, though. When you're in that situation, you don't have to think about when you go to the grocery store, okay, I need peanut butter. You don't have to look at the price tag on the bottom. It's like, well, this nice super premium kind is like $8 a jar. Maybe I have to get the sorry store brand that's $4 a jar. You don't even have to think about that if your money's lined up. You can just kind of tra-la-la, smelling the roses, skipping through life, worrying about other things.
So you're saying you could buy it based upon the flavor of the peanut butter instead of on the price.
Right. And some people get to live in that world, and some people don't have a choice. Some people want to get the super nice Skippy, or they have the double crunch. But they have to get the one that just says in Times New Roman and the black font on their peanut butter.
So is Skippy priced any different than Jif?
Yes.
Or Peter Pan?
Actually, Peter Pan and Skippy are that top shelf. Jif undercuts it. I guess choosy moms aren't that choosy after all. And then there's like the store brand. And then there's one at Winn-Dixie. It's like SE Grocers, where they just write on it with like a typewriter. And it just says peanut butter. That's the one I get.
Okay. Is it all natural?
No. I have to get the Skippy or my kids revolt on me. They will drown me in the generic peanut butter. Put it on my face when I'm sleeping. Oh. All right. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call Gregory, 504-260-0995. We got the numbers coming up next. I'm James Parker, and we are Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome back. This is Winning It Life. Live Financial News Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. By the way, I've got a wine, wisdom, and food experience coming up this week, Wednesday night, Keith Young Steakhouse in Madisonville. We're going to have a little bit of fun. Some wine tips, foodie tips. We're pairing some great wine with great food. And I'm going to share some financial thoughts with you, how to improve the probability of your success with your money. You know, two thoughts. The reason we save and accumulate money and want to get some return on it is to grow it so we can turn it into income at some point in time. What we want is monthly money to spend, to pay bills, do whatever it is we're needing to do monthly. So we need that. And I will challenge you with this. Is there retirement without income? I think not. So, and we're going to talk about that and some other things. Wes Blanchard's going to be there as well. And it's just, and I've got a bunch of super positive things to share with you at that event. $10 to attend. We're going to match and donate it to a charity. There's probably just a few seats left. So give us a call at the office, 504-832-9200 to RSVP. You'll need a callback for a confirmation on that. And I have a couple of other events coming up. There's a Wine, Wisdom, and Food Experience in Metairie upcoming. And we've got another one over at Ruth's Chris at the Hard Rock in Biloxi. And 504-832-9200 can get you into one of those events. You can call now or add somebody the other night, call at 3 a.m. And yes, we have somebody that will take the call live, answer, take your information so my team can call you back and RSVP. And that number can get you in meetings in our Gulfport office, our Mandeville office, and our Metairie office, 504-832-9200.
All right. You know, I was still thinking about the Bayou Steel Group guys. They got laid off and the steel plant closing outside of La Place. We just found out about that last week. And for a lot of the guys, they're facing the big first financial decision they have to make. Applies to a lot of people, whether if you lost your job somewhere else, if you're retiring, if you voluntarily left your job, you have a rollover decision to make. And a lot of people don't know what all the options are. You have this 401k, you're going to roll it over to probably to an IRA. How do you know what to roll it over to? What are the rules? What are the taxes? I think we just need to go over that real quick for these guys.
Yeah, we had that steel company essentially shutting down. We've had some other big companies in the area, sizable reductions on transitioning businesses, portions of their business out of the area. And this isn't uncommon to have layoffs, and it is more common, I guess, as a large size. We've had it in the oil industry. It's ongoing as well. And the others, just here and there, people lose their job or they retire. And yeah, they're having to deal with, it's called 401ks, money that they've accumulated through that employer's plan. And you need to do something with it.
All right. So there's another layer of people that really need to listen to this too. And remember when the plant in Chalmette got bought by a new company? The TV station you see me on every once in a while, it just got bought by a new company. All the employees are having their 401ks go away and restart the next pay period, but they all have this magic rollover opportunity as well whenever your company gets bought out and you have to start that over.
You have an opportunity to move the asset somewhere else. If you were laid off or retired or terminated, whatever the case may be for that separation as well, that is an opportunity to move that money elsewhere. Now, one of the things to be clear on, if you, for whatever reason, you're separated from that company, it shut down and you're going to work elsewhere and they have a company plan, you can move that 401k to that new company plan as one of the options that you have. The other to consider is rolling it over to an IRA. A qualified plan is an IRA. Your 401k is a qualified plan. So it's a non-taxable event to move it from the 401k to an IRA. I had somebody mention that in our team meetings this morning, somebody's coming in regarding they had cashed out their 401k. And before you go and do that, and that might, that isn't the way to roll it over. That's a taxable event. You say, oh, just send me the money out the 401k. That is a taxable event. Plus they're required to withhold 20% from that money. And if your intention is to move that money to another account and put it to work, you want to do a rollover IRA. And it's really simple, super simple to do. An IRA is a tax qualification. It's not an investment. It's what you, and you can have investments inside of that IRA. You have a lot of choices. One reason to roll it over away from the 401k to an IRA is you really have a tremendous amount of choices. You've got ETFs, stocks, REITs, annuities, so many things that you can do, and probably have it more styled to what you think about risk, or more so think about how conservative you are.
All right. So when you have this rollover opportunity, is this something you can do yourself? Is there some onerous paperwork involved?
Well, you need an account set up with a financial firm. We set up IRAs for people every day, so to speak. It's kind of the normal occurrence. Doing 401k rollovers is a normal occurrence, but there's a few things to consider that we look at for. If you're holding company stock, there's net unrealized appreciation opportunity. That's where you could separate for what you paid for that stock back in the day, so to speak, a low, low price. You could just pay the tax on that purchase price and move that stock outside of the company plan. Another thing to consider is, do you have after-tax dollars accumulated in that 401k? When you do the rollover, you want to separate that money outside of the plan. Are you wanting the stock you're holding inside, say that company stock, to go over intact into the IRA? So those are a few of the things you need to kind of think about when you're looking to do a rollover, and you probably should use somebody that really understands the rollover process.
How do I get that money into a Roth? Can I roll over that 401k into the Roth world?
If you're rolling over traditional money and you can roll it over into a Roth, that will be a taxable event. Now, if you have Roth money in your 401k, you can roll it over to a Roth IRA. Even if you have after-tax dollars in that plan, that could get moved over into a Roth account. But we always make sure that money is separated outside of the plan, after-tax dollars. But you have a couple of things you can do with that. Typically, it helps clients shore up their emergency money in that case.
What are the advantages to rolling over into IRA and then just wait until you get another job and rolling that into your new 401k?
You could do that as well. That is an option, because you don't have to move that money out the old 401k in most cases. Some plans will want you to do that. Some plans, this might be happening because they're shutting down the plan. You know, if they're like that steel company closing, well, I'd pretty much say that plan's being shut down as well. That 401k plan's not going to continue. So you're going to need to go and do something with that money. And that's why you probably should sit down and talk with a fiduciary. I'm biased. You should sit down and talk with our team. You know, that daytime job I have.
Talk about the lesser known rule for the people who got separated from their job after age 55.
The 55 age exception, which we're talking about that, because then we're talking also about somebody that's not 59 and a half. If they're needing to take income and they're not 59 and a half, they're going to pay a 10% early withdrawal penalty if that money's coming out of an IRA. But if that money is in a 401k and you were separated from that job once you're age 55 or older, you will not have a 10% early withdrawal penalty. So that might be a reason to leave that money in that 401k or some of it, depending upon the rules of the plan, whether or not you can leave some there in that case. Those that the company's closing and the plan's obviously going to shut down, that's kind of a tough situation for those as well there.
For a lot of people, 401k is their only savings vehicle. Is there anything a financial advisor could do for them on that one?
Quite a bit. First off, you need to have an understanding of what you're doing, get some guidance. I think you need to get some help over with that rollover process so you don't make any errors, so you're not creating a taxable event. This seems easy, but I assure you it's not that simple, and that's why you probably should use a fiduciary to get some help on making sure that process is done right, that you understand what you're doing, and then to help you with the choices relative to, you know, what is your tolerance for risk?
Okay, Gregory, so I found a cool little list of quotes here, financial quotes, your opinions. I'm going to read one, and you just give me what bounces off your head. This first one's going to be from Colin Powell. There are no secrets to success. It is the result of preparation, hard work, and learning from failure.
You know, from a standpoint of success and being successful, it is hard work, and it is keeping at it, not quitting, not giving up. You know, preparation, reading, studying. If you don't know it, then get to reading, get to studying, and you'll get better, and keep working at it. Don't quit.
All right, next quote. This one's from Will Rogers. Too many people spend the money they earned to buy things that they don't want to impress people that they don't like.
Keeping up with the Joneses. I think that is a simple way to do that, to do things for appearances. You know, if it's something you want, you enjoy, and it's within your means, then go right ahead. But to, gosh, try to keep up with other people. And I've talked to people that have done that, and sometimes it has gotten them into financial straits, whether it's living in a community that is above their means or what they drive. Those things will cause you problems. Live your life for you and your family.
A quote from David Bailey: to get rich, you have to make money while you're asleep. This sounds like an homage to passive income.
Have your money working. Does all your money need to work all the time? I don't think so. But you do need to have money working. You should be getting some type of yield. And, you know, one thing about it is if you have a business, you know what? One thing that really determines a business, do you have a real business, is if you can go away and your business keeps going, meaning it's still generating revenues, which then are profits. So think about that as well.
Tony Robbins quote here: working because you want to and not because you have to is financial freedom.
Yeah. And you've heard me talk about that in a different way. I call that options in life. Having options, that is financial freedom as well, because you have choices. You can keep working because you want to, and if one day you don't want to work, then there you can go somewhere else, and you're not having to necessarily work because you need the money. You may work because you want to, or you enjoy it, or you just, hey, you could start your own business and you're not doing it because you make money. It's just because you want something to do. That's what having money means.
All right. Our next financial quote comes from Benjamin Franklin: beware of little expenses. A small leak will sink a great ship.
Well, there's a number of things I dislike regarding investments, and excessive fees is one of those. A couple of others is like illiquidity and too much risk. I dislike that. But fees can kind of rob you of money if you're not aware of it. And another thing I dislike that can create a leak is taxes. It's something you should plan for as well.
Robert Kiyosaki, author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, his quote is: financial freedom is mental, emotional, and educational process.
You have to have a mindset to save money. I think emotion could be involved if you've kind of are goal oriented and wanting to achieve that, but you also emotion the wrong way could part you from that, you know, like buying things for the wrong reason. And I think, look, life is always a learning process. My goodness, you should never stop learning. Self-improvement, advance of knowledge. I think your pay defines how much you know. How good are you at what you do? So more knowledge means more money.
Quote from Jim Rohn: if you really want to do something, you will find a way. If you don't, you will find an excuse.
I really believe that's a solid statement, that if you want to do something, you will find a way. It's like you set your mind to it, you're going to get it done. You're going to achieve it. You're going to get there. Does it guarantee success? A lot of these things that you've actually quoted, you kind of start pulling a lot of these together. Then you start defining success there, but you've just got to keep after it.
This next one's from Kim Kiyosaki. If you want to be financially free, you need to become a different person than you are today and let go of whatever has held you back in the past.
Once again, growing, getting better, learning, and eliminate your mistakes. Learn from your mistakes.
Warren Buffett: never depend on a single income. Make an investment to create a second source.
Multiple streams of income. I think, you know, working towards retirement, you should be thinking about how many different sources of income. That's where I talked about earlier in the show, a client meeting the other day, and we were talking about their sources of income, and they've got others to turn on, and they have excess income already. But that is how you should think of your money. In a way, another what think of creating the ability to ladder income, turn on more income over time.
And our final quote comes from Muhammad Yunus: making money is a happiness, and that's a great incentive. Making other people money is a super happiness. Has that been your experience, Gregory?
I like helping people. It's a core thing. Giving advice, sharing ideas, strategies that help increase their chance of success. And people being successful are happy people. People that make money, keep money, grow money, they're happy people. The one that, you know, are struggling paycheck to paycheck, losing money, bad investment choices, too much risk in the wrong way causes money to go down, creates unhappiness. We like happy people.
Tell them about the book that you're giving out. That's one of the reasons you're doing this.
Yeah. I had a discussion today regarding margin and creating margin. You need margin to save money. And we need to save money tax efficiently, and we need multiple streams of income. I like the idea of having some streams of income that don't go on the 1040, that will not be taxed. If I'm thinking about taxes, you know, putting away money pre-tax, I want to grow it tax deferred, and I want to take it out tax free. And in my team, I had a teaching moment today where we were talking about that, a certain client situation where he's actually achieved that because of the income that he needs is not real big, but he's taken money from his IRA and he put it in there pre-tax, grew it tax deferred. Now he's taking distributions and it's not taxable. Unbelievable situation for that client. Awesome. I've got a book I want to send out to you that takes this to another level, and you just simply need to call the office and ask for the book. It's something we're going to send in the mail to you. We need information so we can mail it to you and follow up with you on that. Now, I'm not going to charge you to get it, but it's going to go through the mail. Call my office. Ask for that book about tax strategies. 504-832-9200.
Your home away from the show is winningitlife.com and the Winning It Life app. Go download that app. Have it on your phone. You can text Gregory at any time. Call the show. Watch previous shows. Listen to previous podcasts. And really just stay connected to all our partners as well. I'm James Parker. We are Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks.